Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, we recently had a week of staff training here at the ranch. We had a bunch of new staff and a bunch of returning staff. And in preparation for a bunch of new students who were coming, we had a week of staff training, and it was wonderful. We had a great time of fellowship, and God blessed us in a wonderful way. I want to share with you this week the messages that I shared with the staff in our devotional time together. I hope they'll be an encouragement to you. God bless you, and let us hear from you. I'm going to be talking this week, God willing, about the God of the Bible. And the reason for that is because there are a lot of people who talk about God, but they really want to disconnect Him from His Word. God's Word is still God's Word. The Bible is God's Word. It is fully authoritative. And people who refuse to submit to its authority will find themselves crushed under it. So we're going to be talking this week about the God of the Bible. There are many other gods, but there is only one true God. There is only one who is real. And the first thing that I want us to talk about is the fact that the God of the Bible is real. He's real. And the God of the Bible is not a God that we can manage. He's not a God who we can negotiate with. The God of the Bible is a holy God. He is almighty, all-knowing. He is perfect in all His ways. And His standards do not change over time. Often when we hear of atheists denying belief in God, it reflects a totally unbiblical view of who God is. They're rejecting a distorted perspective based on ignorance. Remember, as someone said years ago, ignorance is not just what you don't know, it's what you know that ain't so. And there are a lot of folks who reject belief in God, never having become educated about who God is. I don't believe in the God that most atheists reject, nor do I believe in the Easter Bunny. Likewise, when we hear in recent days the sad testimonies of so-called Christian celebrities, musicians, preachers, authors, etc., who are walking away from the faith, I feel tremendous sorrow for them. I really do. But listening to their stated reasons suggests to me that some were thrust into leadership by people who mistook gifts for the fruit of the Holy Spirit. These were folks who had talent and abilities that could be exploited in the religion business. And as their fame grew, they themselves began to believe that they were mature and wise because they drew crowds and had best-selling materials. It's certainly true that some folks refuse to trust the God of the Bible, but it is far more common that people grow weary of trying to serve a counterfeit. They walk away from a branch of show business, wearied by trying to promote something that even they can no longer believe in. Let me tell you something. I've known people who moved in Orthodox circles for a long time. They had learned the lines. They could say them convincingly, but they themselves were not convinced. It's tragic, but it is more widespread than you might imagine. And one of the great joys of my life throughout my ministry has been the privilege of praying with pastors and others in ministry to receive Christ. Because there are a lot of folks who believe something about God without really knowing God. I often tell the story of Mr. Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, who was on board a ship on his way back from an embarrassing failure in ministry in Georgia. And as he was headed for England, there was a huge storm. And he was terrified that he was going to die. But he saw that the Moravians on board the ship were not terrified. They were worshiping the Lord in the midst of the storm. And after the storm had passed, he went to the leader of the Moravian group and he said to them, "Why were you not afraid?" And the leader of the Moravians looked at him and said, "Do you know God?" And Wesley, who had his advanced degree from Oxford, who had been the president of the Holy Club, who was an ordained Anglican priest, who had gone to the colony of Georgia in order to do missions work, Wesley was angered by the question because he said, "I knew more about God than that man did. I could write a book filled with information about God that that man doesn't know. But the man didn't ask me, 'Do you know about God?' He said, 'Do you know God?'" And Wesley said, "I realized that in the sense in which he meant that question, the answer was no." And Wesley embarked on a quest that was troubling to his friends and family because they wondered, "You know, you're a trained priest. How can you feel that somehow you are not saved?" It's because he wasn't. There are tons of people, those who are not theologically trained and those who are theologically trained, who do not know God. One of the things that, God willing, we're going to talk about this week is the fact that God is knowable. But this morning, I want to emphasize and focus simply on the fact that God is real. He's real. It's not a myth. It's not a construct of man. But everything else is. All the other gods are idols. They're empty.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and is holding out his hand. But the waves are calling.
Let me share some scriptures with you. Deuteronomy chapter 4. The Lord, Yahweh, is God. There is no other besides him. That's verse 32. Verse 40, the Lord, Yahweh, is God in heaven above and on earth below. There is no other. The Lord is God. 2 Samuel 7:22, after Nathan has spoken with David, he goes in and sits in the Lord's presence. I love that description. David went into the presence of the Lord. This is old covenant. They did not have the same blessing that Christians have. But David went and sat in the Lord's presence, and he prayed this, 2 Samuel 7:22. This is why you are great, Lord God. There is no one like you. And there is no God besides you, as all we have heard confirms. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, we're reminded there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope at your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. A.W. Tozer famously said, "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us." Ponder that. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Because you see, there are a lot of people who are deeply religious, but they're worshiping an idol. When the Apostle Paul was in Athens, he saw all the statues to various gods, honoring these false man-made gods. And he said, "I see that you're a very religious people, but I want to tell you about the God you don't know, the God who is God." Jonah, when he was trying to run away from God and God sent a storm, and the men on the ship asked him, "What God do you serve?" Jonah was not serving very well. He was being disobedient. But they said, "What God do you serve?" And he said, "I serve the God who made the heavens and the earth, the sea and the land and everything." And they were terrified. Because you see, all their gods were much smaller than that. One was a god of the land, one was a god of the sea. Even the gods of the land had various geographical locations that they were over. These were nothing but territorial spirits, which is what most people are in bondage to today. There are other spiritual forces that pretend to be gods. They're referred to in Scripture as gods, little g. But they are not God. There's been talk in our culture and really increasing volume since 9/11, which some of you are old enough to remember 9/11. But the suggestion in political circles has been that, well, we may worship him in different ways, but we all believe in the same God. That's a lie. It's utter rubbish. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 35. "You are shown these things so that you would know that the Lord is God. There is no other besides him. Today, recognize and keep in mind that the Lord is God in heaven above and on earth below. There is no other." Psalm 86.
Lord, there is no one like you among the gods. There are no works like yours. All the nations you have made will come and bow down before you, Lord, and will honor your name. For you are great and perform wonders. You alone are God. Psalm 95. Come, let us shout joyfully to the Lord. Shout triumphantly to the rock of our salvation. Let us enter his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout triumphantly to him in song. For the Lord, Yahweh, is a great God, a great king above all gods. The depths of the earth are in his hand, and the mountain peaks are his. The sea is his. He made it. His hands formed the dry land. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep under his care. Psalm 96. For the Lord is great and is highly praised. He is feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Psalm 97. All who serve carved images, those who boast in idols, will be put to shame. All the gods must worship him. Zion hears and is glad. Judah's villages rejoice because of your judgments, Lord. For you, Lord, are the most high over the whole earth. You are exalted above all the gods. Psalm 135. For I know that the Lord is great. Our Lord is greater than all gods. The idols of the nations are of silver and gold, made by human hands. They have mouths but cannot speak, eyes but cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear. Indeed, there is no breath in their mouths. Those who make them are just like them, as are all who trust in them. Isaiah chapter 43, you are my witnesses. This is the Lord's declaration and my servant whom I've chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. No God was formed before me, and there will be none after me. I am the Lord. Besides me, there is no Savior. I alone declared, saved, and proclaim, and not some foreign God among you. So you are my witnesses. This is the Lord's declaration. And I am God. Also, from today on, I am he alone, and none can rescue from my power. I act, and who can reverse it? In chapter 44, now listen, Jacob, my servant, Israel, whom I've chosen. This is the word of the Lord, your maker, the one who formed you from the womb. He will help you. Do not fear, Jacob, my servant, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. They will sprout among the grass like poplars by flowing streams. This one will say, I am the Lord's. Another will use the name of Jacob. Still another will write on his hand, the Lord's, and take it, and take on the name of Israel. This is what the Lord, the King of Israel, and its Redeemer, the Lord of armies, says. I am the first, and I am the last. There is no God but me. Is there any God but me? There is no other rock. I do not know any. All who make idols are nothing, and what they treasure benefits no one. Their witnesses do not see or know anything, so they will be put to shame. Who makes a god or casts a metal image that benefits no one? Look, all its worshipers will be put to shame, and the craftsmen are humans. They all will assemble and stand. They all will be startled and put to shame. Chapter 45. They will confess to you, God is indeed with you, and there is no other. There is no other God. For this is what the Lord says, the creator of the heavens, the God who formed the earth and made it, the one who established it. He did not create it to be a wasteland, but formed it to be inhabited. He says, I am the Lord, and there is no other. Was it not I, the Lord? There is no other God but me, a righteous God and Savior. There is no one except me. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no other. By myself I've sworn, truth has gone from my mouth, a word that will not be revoked. Every knee will bow to me. Every tongue will swear allegiance. It will be said about me, righteousness and strength are found only in the Lord. All who are enraged against him will come to him and be put to shame. Isaiah chapter 46. Remember what happened long ago, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and no one is like me. Do you sort of catch a theme here? God, as he's revealing himself over and over, is telling people, I'm the only God. I'm the only one who's real. All the others are counterfeits. Little kids ask the question, where did God come from? It's an understandable question for a young child because everything else has a starting point. But that makes total sense if God, who is God alone, is the creator of all things. The reason everything else has a start is because everything else is creation. But God has always been and always will be. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will remain forever. And you and I need to recognize that the reason there is so much falling away from religion is because idols can't satisfy. Folks, we do not serve a man-made God. We serve the God who made man. And one of the reasons why there is so much hostility in our culture toward the truth that God is the creator is because if we recognize that he has created us, then we are accountable to him and he is in charge. Folks, let me tell you something. You wouldn't be here if you had not professed to believe not just that there is a God, but that God loved us so much he sent his son to save us. And that Jesus isn't just someone who lived long ago. He's someone who's alive right now, having conquered death. And he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's coming again. But there will be times as you seek to serve him here, when the enemy will whisper doubts in your ear, and you'll be tempted to think, is it real? Did God really say this? I want to encourage you at the start to spend a lot of time with the Lord, because he's the only one who can sustain you. He's the only one who can keep you and empower you. And I want you to know, he's real. God, God of the Bible, is real. And he loves you more than you can comprehend.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. www.wearsvalleyranch.org.